Good evening to everyone. It is always a privilege and a pleasure to be in your midst tonight and to be able to share a testimony about God who does some quite amazing things in the life of so many people. One of the most interesting things, I think, that's a fact, and it's an interesting fact, is that God knows more about us than we know about ourselves. I think Jesus said on one occasion in Matthew chapter 6 that he even knows the sparrows that fall from the sky. And as he even talked about the fact that every blade of grass that grows that's here today and is gone tomorrow, God knows all about those things as well. And so God knows all about you and I. He knows about our desires. He knows about our uprisings, our downsittings. In Psalms 139, the division, David says, makes a statement that God knows our ups, he knows our downs, he knows our ins, he knows our outs. And he prepared some things in life for all of us that's unique to who we are. And so God is amazing. He's an amazing, amazing God. And then at the end of that psalm, David said, and we are wonderfully and beautifully made in the image of God. So make no mistakes about tonight. We are tremendously blessed because God always has our best interests at heart. I bring you greetings tonight. I know many of you know who I am as we share in the ministry. Down there dealing with young men and women who are locked up, freeing them up through Jesus and showing them a better way of living, and also exposing the light of the gospel through who we are to these young men and women, and prayerfully that they will take hope as that anchor that we have, Christ as the anchor of the soul. So tonight I come to you in two ways. Number one, to thank you all for your support in the ministry as we are in ministry together. And number two, to always ask for your prayers because God is still on the throne and he's still doing some amazing things. Tonight in the book of Joshua, I want to share a lesson since God is amazing and God can do some things with us that we possibly cannot ever think and imagine that God can take us into places that only we dream of. I want to talk a little bit about when to say when. I want to talk about a concept in the book of Joshua chapter 6 where the people of God now are getting ready to do something and to move into another area of their existence as they begin to take hold to the promise that God had made with them 40 years ago when he told Moses to send some spies into this land and spy out the land. You send 12 spies, you spy out the land. And when you spy out the land, I'll need you to come and bring me a report. And when you bring that report, we're going to move because God has promised us this land as a possession, as an inheritance. And that was 40 years ago. If you don't remember, let me acquaint you with the story. 10 of the spies came back and they gave a report. And the report was looked something like this. We saw the walled cities. We saw the leeks. We saw the cakes. We even tasted of the pomegranates. We saw the land was flowing with milk and honey. But we also saw the inhabitants of the land and how they were eating up the people there. We even saw the giants there. And so they told Moses, they gave this evil report. And what they said to Moses and Aaron is that we need to wait. Let's not do it now. Let's wait because, you know, we appear to be grasshoppers in our eyesight. And so we look like we're small in their eyesight as well. A little time later, Joshua and Caleb came back in. This is Numbers 20. Joshua and Caleb came back in and still the people called Moses and Aaron to the tent of the tabernacle and said, let's go up at once for we can take the city. This city is ours for possession. But because they heard the voice of the majority, and the Bible says because of the disbelief, they wandered in the wilderness another 30-something years. when supposedly with God giving them the command that they were supposed to obey, to take movement, take action based on their faith in who God is, because they seen God demonstrate his power in war over and over again against all forces. And this was the same force. And so they stayed where they were. They did not move by faith. And the Bible makes this commentary about the children of Israel, many of them from 20 years up, who came out of the land of Egypt, that were in the wilderness. Many of them, carcasses, they fell in the wilderness. And literally, those who came out of the land of Egypt, 20 and over, only two made it to the promised land by the time this book is written, and that's Joshua and Caleb. They were the two youngest adults there when they were coming out of Egypt. So it took 40 years when it should have taken only a moment over a few hills, maybe a couple weeks' journey, and they would have been into the promised land. So the point tonight is that we need to know when to say when. And since we're at a time, a memorial, where we're recognizing the work that those the people who've been in the military have done, make no mistake about it, because of the contestant of the devil and his trickery, his cunning craftiness, we're still in war. We're in war for the souls of men and women. We're in war for listening to propaganda all over us. We're still in war. When God says something and the world turns it over and makes it sound as if it's foolish to obey it, we're still in wartime tonight. And so we're going to talk a little bit about that tonight. And I'm going to look at this passage tonight in Joshua chapter 6. I'm going to read a few verses here. And then I want to cite two things as a test to you and I tonight before we're done. And my hope and prayer is that we will all see ourselves following God, irregardless of the circumstances and how difficult it is to follow, and that we will follow God even when it seems too foolish to observe his precepts, but we will obey them by faith. I think it was the Bible, and Paul said to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 7, for we walk by faith and not by sight. And tonight, that's what we're going to, our attempt tonight is to expose this text to talk about when to say when. In the book of Joshua chapter 6 and verse number 10, the Bible says, and Joshua had commanded the people, saying, ye shall not shout nor make any noise with your voice, neither shall you shall any word proceed out of your mouth until the day I bid you about. Then shall you shout. Here's the interesting fact of when to say when. Since God is who he is, and God knows more about circumstances, God is God over all. Now, here's what I need from you all. It will slow me down. It will get me not to be nervous tonight. I need you all to say together as a congregation, when I say God is good, you say all the time. When I say all the time, you say God is good. God is good all the time. God is good all the time. Amen. And so when we look at that, we understand that God is God over all. In the book of Ephesians, Paul makes a statement, Ephesians chapter 3, as he deals with the plight of the Ephesian believers as it relates to where they are. They had the city of Diana there. They had a lot of pagan idolatry in the city. And Paul talks about the fact that his prayer to them in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 14, he says, I bow my knees to our Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and in earth is named, that he may grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. See, one of the things about God, when we understand the fact that in old times, that there were certain ways that God was dealing with them. He took them through war. Matter of fact, they had armed men. They had battle scars. They had battle. They did this over and over again. They took down cities. And now they come to the walls of Jericho and the city there. And God tells them through Joshua, We're going to surround the men who have the armor. We're going to put all the other people around, surround them with the priests. We're going to surround them with the Ark of the Covenant. They're not going to even take up a sword. I don't want you to make a noise. Are you serious, Joshua? We just saw God take down a few nations, and the men of battle were victorious. Are you serious, Joshua? You want us? We got to the walls, and the walls were so lined up as a defense. I can imagine the people on the other side of the wall looking down at God's people, was probably laughing at them, looking up at them going, are y'all serious? You guys going to try to get this? You're going to try to take us out? And you've already told your mighty men to stand down? And the first thing he told them to do, don't make a sound. Don't do anything. All I want you to do is march around the wall. And they did that. I want you to march around the wall. Second day. I don't want you to make a sound. All I want you to do is march around the wall. Are you serious? Yes. The third day. I don't want you to make a sound. I want you to march around the wall. Here I am on the top of the wall as an opponent of this, looking down at you as a child of God, going, I told you y'all's God is crazy. Y'all's God gets y'all to do some crazy stuff. Keep on marching. Keep on doing that. We're going to take it easy because you can't bring down these walls by silence. When it got to the sixth day, he started commanding them to do a couple other different things. And on the seventh day, here's what he did. I need the priests on both ends to have these ram's horns. I mean, when I went out to Pepperdine a few years ago, went out to Pepperdine in the early 80s, I went out to Pepperdine and I looked up this passage and I started looking at, and I found online at the time on the internet a ram's horn, and I took a look at it. Then in their department, they had something that was something like a replica of it, and I heard a guy make a sound from this horn. Here's what it sounded like. One more time. It was ugly. It looked bad. When I was in high school, I played a clarinet before high school, and then I played a tenor sax, one of the nicest sounding instruments in the world. I mean, you can almost speak with it. A ram's horn. It was just loud enough to be like uncouth, uncommon, unorthodox. And so they blew this ram's horn. And then he tells them, I want you to march around the city seven times. And when they marched around the city, the walls fell. He makes a statement in verse number 11, because of the city was already cursed, it was already in your hands, God gave it to them as a possession. It was standing in the way of God's people from accomplishing a promise that God has given to them. My question tonight is that there are some things in our life that's happening, that's standing in our way. What are we going to do? Our test tonight is patient obedience. That's our first test. To observe a principle that in human mind is too foolish to follow. Patient obedience. See, when it comes to God, Paul says, even in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, he uses the basis or the baser things, because the wisdom of God, even the foolishness of God, is wiser than the wise wisdom of men. Our job tonight as believers is patient obedience. Turn to somebody right next to you and say, our job tonight, tell them, your job tonight is patient obedience. Amen. And tell them also, your job is to observe, let me make sure I get this right, to observe a precept that in human practice seem too foolish to follow. That's our job tonight. Strange. Seven times. Now, if I'm incorrect, Daniel, I think I need you to tell them when I'm done that I'm not telling the truth here, because you were waiting on me to come because you had to stand in today and you were wondering if I was going to make it. Is that right, Daniel? So if I falter in this idea, I need you to come finish this. Here's my idea. They never took up in this battle a sword. They never had to shed any of their blood in this battle. The effort in this battle was about observing God's precept that seemed in human terms too foolish, because the people on the wall looked at them like they were crazy. And when God begins to work in your life and God calls you to some things that's uncommon, uncomfortable, unorthodox, your job and my job is patient obedience. That's our job tonight. That's the first test, patient obedience. They needed to still themselves. Can I be honest with you tonight? I'm kind of erratic. I'm one of those guys. I got to see it. I got to do it. I got to be in there. I got to almost mechanically see it fall apart. I got to have my hands on. And so sometimes I won't wait for something. I want it to happen. So I'll be the one right in there scrapping to figure it out. And God told them, I don't even want you to figure it out. I just want you to be still. I want for 6 days for you to say nothing. So I often ask myself, before I get to the last one, why, God? Why did you do this to Israel right now at this stage? Because if they won the battle with any force, any fight, any arms that they would take up, and they won the battle, they would have a tendency to say, look at what we've done. Smile and say amen for me real quick. Because any time that we've gotten to a point when things do work out, sometimes we say, oh, that one I did real good. Oh, we pat ourselves on the back. There's nothing wrong with it. And we say, we did real good at this one. See, God removed that one because it wasn't about what they did. It was about who God was and to show his mighty power. Secondly, and lastly, is to believe a promise that in human probability seemed too foolish to perform. One is patient obedience. The other one we just have to follow after faith. Hebrews 11:1, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that comes to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Tonight, when to say when? How do I know? Sometimes we've got to speak up when it comes to people understanding who God is. Sometimes we've got to speak up when people don't know the difference between the word of the world and who the people of God are. We got to speak up. But then there's some times when we've got to be silent. Even when the noise of the world is going and things are happening in the world, there are times when we've got to let God, as one of my mentors say, there's times when we literally have to let God be God, and we have to know when to say when. Now, how do we know when? God has given us so many things in his word. And one of the things that he fortifies with us with is the Spirit. And when you go to the Galatians chapter 5, you find all these qualities and the characteristics of a life led in the Spirit and led by the Spirit. And you see all these qualities. One is love. See, love is stronger. You know, I told some young men this morning, love is stronger than drugs. And of course, I'm talking to a group of, in the context of some of these young men who've had some issues with this. And they say, how so? Because to love as part of God's patient obedience and to perform it has nothing to do with the person that you're demonstrating the love for or on. It has everything to do with the God you serve. And one of them looked at me like he got it. Because that's what we're supposed to follow. Because sometimes we say, I can't love him. I can't love her. Do you know what they've done? And I've gone into prisons following some of our young men who've gone to prison. And I'm still there, and some of them have been baptized right there in the center. And I'm still there with them, showing them the same pattern. And they're just like, what, chap, I've got 15 years. And one just got his high school diploma after being locked up for 5 years. And now he's seeing that there's some hope. Even if he's going to be there for another 10 years, there's still some hope. And so we follow after. And so when they brought the walls down, I don't know how you feel about this, but if I was there when I watched a lot of people fall apart in the wilderness like Joshua and Caleb did, and I felt it in my heart that we should have believed God then, can you imagine the excitement that was on his face and the assurance that he felt when they finally went in as they started claiming the promise that God had made with them over 40 years ago. Can you imagine Joshua? And so it was nothing for Joshua and when he began to deal with the people and they were almost falling back into that same mindset. Joshua said, look, you choose this day. If you want to go back to serve the gods on the other side of the river, you choose this day. But as for me and my house, We've seen God perform. We know for sure that God is able. He's more than able because we've seen him do some things that have been quite impossible. And so we'll keep following after faith. Two tests tonight. The first one is patient obedience. The second one is to follow God irregardless of the difficulties and the circumstances that we face. Those two tests are on the floor tonight. And for those of us who've given our life to the Lord, we understand that that's exactly what Jesus did. Even when he was faced with the garden and faced with Calvary, he was in the garden and his human, because he came in your form, it came in my form, his humanism cried out, said, Lord, if there's a plan B, we got to hurry. Oh, you're going to have to hurry up and bring plan. Because in my flesh, I'm feeling the real brunt of this. This is not a game. I'm about to die. So if you can get me out of this one. And then the Spirit, the Son of God, the God-man said, wait a minute. Not my will, but your will be done. Can you imagine the struggle? Seemed too impossible. On the cross, two thieves. They railed at him. One of the thieves said, you know, we're deserving our plight. So remember me, he says. He says, I remember you when I come into paradise today. Come into paradise. And then in the same breath, he is crying out, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. My God, why has you forsaken me? What's the point, Brother Lemon, tonight? He was still agonizing, but he kept moving and even looked down. And before he said, it is finished, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Boy, that would be fantastic, wouldn't it? If somebody was doing something to you and you really had this mindset of when to say when, you could look at somebody and say, they don't really know what they're doing. Lord, forgive them. They're trying to hurt me, Lord. I know it's difficult, but forgive them, Lord. And when you and I can do that, then we become like Christ. And I believe God is well pleased with us at that point. Believe on the Lord Jesus tonight. Believe that he is the Son of God. He is the Savior of the world. Be willing to turn your life over and put it into his hands. And then for those of you who are not, have never taken on Christ, take him on in baptism. Confess him tonight as the Son of the living God and be buried in water for the remission of your sin. We're going to stand tonight an invitation. And this invitation is given so that we can encourage one another, because tomorrow is coming quick and our adversary will be right there at our door mentioning some things that God said and he didn't say, and trying to bring doubt in our lives. So we're going to stand. That's it. We're into our invitation.